Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast featuring Dan. And of course, we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Make sure you check out our social media. So we have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and we've been using YouTube Shorts.
Yes. And also check out the website, LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com, to check out all the other podcasts. And I even saw we have a new one coming up about like an actual news podcast.
Yeah.
So if you like that sort of thing, be on the lookout for it. It might already be out. Not sure.
Yeah, it should already be out by the time this is out. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I feel it's been a while since I've seen you guys. Didn't we go like 4 weeks?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. It's been a while. So big news since we haven't seen each other in the Disney realm.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Iger has been replaced with Josh DeMario.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't,
how we all feel about that?
I don't know who he is or what he's about. So
I saw it coming.
I mean, it was, we did see it coming. He should have been the first one to take over anyways. Like, in my opinion, it should have never been Chapek.
And Chapek. Yeah.
I'm excited for it because I'm tentatively excited for it because, one, he started at the bottom and moved up. He's been through all the trenches. And I think that is very, very important.
Yes.
Number two, from what I've read and what I understand, is he not only understands the business side and what needs to be done, but he also understands the magic side, which is a big problem that we had with Chapek. And Iger kind of understood the magic side, but he was more business. So I'm excited for those two reasons. I think we're in good hands. There's some rumors going around, some that are probably more fact than rumors about like prices changing and other things. I also heard they're taking Villain's Land and they're amplifying it.
Yeah, they said like, start over.
Not big enough.
Yeah, it's not, well, not start
it's
over,
not good
but
enough.
Yeah,
we're
they
take
said make
this
it bigger,
make it bigger, which
make
I love.
It better.
Like, I was afraid when I saw that article. I'm like, oh, please don't tell me that they're taking it away.
Yeah. Well, I heard it's so when they come to, I'm sure they do a little bit in California, but it's bigger here, you know, in Orlando. They come, so that would be the CEOs, whoever. So Josh, Bob, whoever's traveling with them. And they don't only go to Disney World, but they will go to, like, they went to Epic Universe when it opened. They went and checked it out. So they're all of the CEOs from all the companies are always checking out each other. And I read somewhere that part of this may be because they went to Epic Universe, they saw, like, the dark world over there, which will always be different because Universal's Target is a little bit different than Disney. But they went over there and they saw what they did and they're like, well, we have to compete with this and we're not on that level, to be fair. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I also heard, and this isn't a rumor, this is fact, Josh actually goes to the parks and enjoys the parks as a customer with his family and does not pull like CEO. Well, he doesn't pull a lot of strings. Like they still have to do safety for him because people know him and whatnot. Yeah. But he actually goes there and tries to stay pretty incognito and
I've heard that.
Go with his family like yearly, if not more often. And that warms my heart too. Like, I think that is a huge part of the Disney experience. That's what Walt did. I feel like my hope, I don't know if it's going to happen, but my hope is we kind of go towards the Mike Eisner era.
Probably.
Again.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, there's a big talk in them going back to 2D animation from the Renaissance era and some of that sort of stuff. So I'm like, please, please, please. Did you see the interview that Eisner did?
Yes. Well, I saw part of it. I didn't get to watch the whole interview
I found it so I could watch a lot of it. And I'm watching this. I'm like, Eisner, I wish you would have stepped up and said something before.
It is what it is, you know.
I know.
Honestly.
But yeah. That was big news. I mean, it's a lot of people saw it coming, but it's still very big news to because things are already starting to happen and in a good light. I'm just hoping, Josh, I know you'll never hear this or ever see this, but can you do something about that stupid flip in lightning lanes?
We'll see. We'll see.
I need you to do something about that. Like, get rid of it. Please. That's just my wish. That one won't come true, but it's a wish.
No, it won't, but
Okay. So that's the Disney news of the day. Mm-hmm. Let's get into what we're actually talking about, which is week four of our direct-to-video princess series. Yes. We are talking Mulan 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost Dan.
And Dan went poof as soon as Ashley said, he's like, you know what? I don't want to talk about Mulan. I'm going to go.
He's like, you know
Mulan's
what?
Mulan's not
out.
My favorite.
This is not what I want to do.
Dan just said, I got to go.
I thought we were going to start with Marvel. Apparently
exactly.
Not.
He's like, oh, this isn't Thunderbolts and Daredevil. Forget it.
You need to keep this in.
Oops. That was like perfect timing, though. It honestly was. We're talking about Mulan. Boom. Gone. Poor Dan. Ugh. The struggle is real.
We'll give him a minute.
Yeah, this is what happened last time, if I recall. The first recording, we had some struggles.
We had so many struggles.
By the, you know, next couple, we were okay. But yes, we shall see. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Nope.
Oh, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I stay. I'm sorry. I'm going to kill my stupid computer.
No, you're okay. We kind of made a joke out of it because as soon as I said Mulan 2, you vanished.
Went,
and we're like, oh, I guess he doesn't want to talk about Mulan. Maybe he thought we were starting with Marvel.
Forget it. Forget it. I thought we were doing something else.
good grief.
Well, welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so Mulan 2, here's the summary. Mulan 2 takes place shortly after the first film, like pretty much like right after the engagement. Yeah. And centers on Mulan and Shang's engagement. They are assigned to escort princesses Ting Ting, Mi, and Su to another kingdom to secure a political alliance through marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Normal. Mm-hmm. The core conflicts in this movie is Mulan believes love and choice matter more than tradition, mm-hmm. which we totally, I mean, I believe that we saw that in the first movie as well, because yeah. she went against tradition.
Yep.
Shang, which we all know this, believes in duty and honor and must come first. Mm-hmm. So I really think that, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go back to that later.
Okay.
Unlike the original film, the antagonist is internal and relational. So there's not a physical enemy. Mm-hmm. It's more about relational issues back and forth. Mushu actively interferes, again, mm-hmm. nothing new, attempting to sabotage the engagement out of fear he'll lose his guardian role and once Mulan marries. So yep. this story culminates in a clash between tradition and autonomy, ultimately reframing what honor means.
Mm-hmm.
So cast, I believe everyone is like... the original people came back.
Right.
Ming-Na Wen is Mulan. B.D. Wong. And if I say their names wrong, I'm so sorry, guys. I am not good with pronunciations. B.D. Wong is Shang. Eddie Murphy comes back as Mushu. And then we got the three princesses. So these are new voices. Lucy Liu, which I did not realize was Lucy Liu as I was listening to her, is Princess Mi. Sandra Oh is Princess Ting Ting. And Lauren Tobb is Princess Su. And then, I don't know why mm-hmm. they have Ling and Chifu, but not Yao. That's interesting. But I believe the same guys who voiced them came back as well.
Yeah.
Blame ChatGPT because that's where this came from. I even had it check itself to make sure it had all the right people.
Well, that worked.
Mm-hmm. You know why I love also using ChatGPT and when we do this is because I like to tell it when it's wrong. I'm like, nope, you're wrong. You think you're all knowing.
I've gotten in fights with Google Gemini. I have.
I'm like, see, you're not as all-knowing as you think. Mm-hmm. By some behind the scenes, like we know, it was developed for direct-to-video release, not theatrical. Mm-hmm. We already know about the relationship tension. Now, they did say, a lot of people do think Mushu's characterization was intentionally exaggerated for the comedy, which became one of the most critical elements. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is just how he reacted and what he did is exactly what he did in the first Mulan. So I don't know why they think it's over exaggeration because that's just Mushu.
It didn't bother me. So
I don't know. But I read some outside sources on like people's reaction to Mushu and they thought he was like more over the top than the first movie. I'm like, no, he's a selfish being. Like, did you not realize this in the first one? But anywho. And then they did tone down the song and animation. You can tell the animation quality is not as good as the first one, especially when they do over-exaggerated facial expressions. I'm like, ooh, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are toned down. Rating-wise, it got a 5.6 out of 10. Common criticisms is Shang is acting out of character and then Mushu undermining the emotional stakes. I think all of us were mad at Mushu because he's not thinking about everybody else's feelings. He's being
just
selfish.
Himself. Yeah.
But again, that is his character. Mm-hmm. Shang acting out of character. What do you guys think? Like,
I mean,
we only know Soldier Shang.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we had a lot of background on him. And Mushu was the one orchestrating everything. So it was a common case of like a sitcom, right? This person thinks this thing. This person thinks this thing. It's a giant misunderstanding and nobody talks about it. That's, I mean, that's what it really came down to, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he overly bothered me.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's, I think a lot of it's going from the tone of the first one to the tone of the second one, because the first one was so big and so like, it was much war. Deeper. And then, yeah, it was a war. It was a war movie. Exactly. Yeah. And this is a silly cartoon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I can see the conflict, but I feel like for this style, I would say it fit.
Yeah. I will say they overdid Shang's facial expressions in the animation, where I'm just like, okay, he is a soldier. He wouldn't be that irate in the face. He can keep a little bit calmer. Mm-hmm. But I just, yeah, some of like when it's a second movie and you're giving characters like these big facial expressions that you didn't give them in the first one, that irritates me. That's an irritation with the animators, not with the storyline for me. Now, if they started that way, like there are some cartoons where, yes, they've had these types of facial expressions the whole time. Perfect. But my thing was not really Shang acting out of character. It was Shang's animation that they did to him.
The way they were drawing him.
A lot of common praises is willingness to explore life after the heroic moment, which I also think because our society, even back in the 90s, is so used to like these big epic things. And then when you bring them to like the everyday kind of what I like to call the everyday cozy moments, people don't like it. And
that's true.
I'm surprised that it's a praise, honestly. I think a lot of people actually don't like seeing behind, but this is another one like Cinderella where we get to see it. Focus on choice versus obligation rather than conquest is another common praise probably from the critics. So that's pretty much all the notes on it. So some things that it doesn't tell you with the summary in this movie is they're taking the princesses to a different country for a political alliance, which is very common in that type of realm and age. But what happens is, I always forget their names without looking at them. Ling, Chifu, and Yao come to help them. And what do these three bumbling buffoons do? They fall in love with the princesses, which doesn't surprise me. They'll fall in love with anybody.
True.
But the princesses actually fall in love with them. Who saw that coming? Everyone.
Yes.
Everyone saw it coming because they're literally the opposite of the, like, which one? I always forget which one's which. Ling is the skinny one, right?
I think so. Stick figure.
He finds someone who laughs at his jokes and is just as outrageously funny as him, even though she takes forever to give in. Chifu is the one who loves food. You find someone who loves to cook, or one of the princesses who love to cook. And then Yao's girl loves like buff men or something of that nature. I don't know. So it's, and then this causes conflict with Mulan and Shang because Mulan believes in love and following your heart because, you know, it's what she did in the first movie.
Yep.
Shang is like, no, we got to honor, duty, like this is their duty. They have to go do this for the kingdom. And that's what Shang was brought up. So conflicts ensue. So honestly, even if Mushu wasn't there to fan the flame, it probably would have erupted anyways.
Oh, yeah. There would have been a disagreement at some point. Yes.
All the personalities were there for all the right conflict.
Yes.
Yep.
It was well set up.
It was. Spoilers, I'm going to ruin the ending of the movie for you people. So if you've never seen Mulan Toon, please go watch it and then come back. So the ending is Mulan tells they get attacked. We think Shang dies. Sad. Mulan's devastated. And she looks at the princess. She's like, go have your life. I will go marry into this and for China. She's going to save China again. The prince, we should have saw it coming. The prince that she's supposed to marry is this like teenage boy who has a little finger trap thingy, and he's just, oh god. Especially after saying who she was just engaged to, and now the
big difference.
So she goes, she's like literally walking down the aisle to get married because the guy's like, "Ooh, Mulan, the savior of China. Yes, you're worthy.
Of course."
Yeah. And then who also saves the day? Shang comes running in. The guy says he still needs to marry the son. Who saves the day? Who finally becomes selfless?
Mushu.
Yes. He does what he does best and pretends to be a stone dragon. Mm-hmm. Except this was the dragon of unity? Golden dragon of unity, I think.
Yes. Golden dragon of something. Yeah, I think
so. I think it's maybe. Golden dragon of unity.
Yeah. Golden dragon something, yeah.
Yeah. Pretends to be the golden dragon of unity, gets them to like let Shang and Mulan marry, and it's beautiful, and it's a happily ever after.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he gets to keep his guardianship because Shang puts his ancestors, combines his ancestors, and I love the ancestors' like reaction. They're like, no!
You know what? That's what you get for being so mean to Mushu. You know?
I know, but Mushu is a selfish little creature.
Oh, like, he's super annoying.
Honestly,
but
if
still.
I was them, I would want him to go back to Gong Duty too. Oh, goodness. Okay, what's you guys' thoughts on the whole of the movie?
It's cute. I mean, just...
It's cute. There's really no other word for it.
Yeah.
It's a cute direct-to-movie or direct-to-VHS video, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For what it was, it was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I approached it the same way I approached watching, like, really any other sequel, like The Return of Jafar or, you know, any of the other... it's pretty much what I expected it would be.
Yeah.
Except Return of Jafar was epic.
That's probably a bad example.
Yeah.
Because I thought about that as soon as I said that.
Return of Jafar is actually a really good sequel for Disney.
No, it's actually really good.
Yeah.
Out of all the sequels, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. But yeah, I mean, the setup was, it was predictable, you know, but it was cute. Mm-hmm. It just, there's nothing bad about it. Is it a masterpiece? No. But is it a good sequel? Yeah. I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect it to be on the same level as the theatrical movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the big debate is that Mulan 2 betrayed the original Mulan's like movie character because of...
Like Mulan herself?
I think it's the movie of Mulan. Hold on. Now that I read it, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry, I got a mechanical keyboard now, so now you can hear everything.
You type really fast.
80 words per minute.
Nice.
Do you spell everything correctly?
I do.
Okay.
You don't get
That's
80
the
words
key.
Per minute.
That's the
you
key.
Don't get 80 words per minute without like correctly spelling things.
Okay.
They take points away from you when you spell them wrong in tests.
Gotcha.
Okay, when people say Mulan 2 broke Mulan's character, they're referring primarily to the character herself, her personality, motives, and intelligence. Rather than the quality of the movie. How? This is why
she's
they
not
said
going
it broke
to war.
Character.
So what is the problem?
This is why it says she broke character. Undermining previous growth, the first film showed Mulan learning to balance her desire to be true to herself with the duty to her family in China. In Mulan 2, she's portrayed as overly stubborn and often acts in ways that create unnecessary conflict. Following your heart to a fault. Well, follow your heart was a theme in the first movie. In the sequel, Mulan uses this mantra to encourage others to abandon duty, which some viewers find to be a complete reversal of our earlier, more mature understanding of responsibility.
Okay.
We'll tear these apart in a second. Inconsistency okay. with Shang, the strong, respectful partnership built in the first film. I'm sorry. Okay. Replaced by petty bickering, often written as not trusting, listening to Shang making her seem out of character. Critics noted that instead of being a kick-ass warrior, she's often reduced to a character navigating forced romantic melodrama. Okay. Hold on.
Again, it's an everyday scenario. Like, they're not in wartime at the moment. So they're going to be different. Like,
I don't understand.
Yeah, this is what they're like on a day-to-day basis.
And she is, she's following her heart. Yes. Okay. So the duty thing, right?
Yeah.
The whole point of this, I get they're framing it as a duty thing. I get it with marriage, but this is marriage, not her. Stop it. This is marriage, not her going off into a battle. Like her whole point is you shouldn't have to be forced to marry somebody that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. I mean, yeah. But here's also the thing that's really like, I'm, what the heck are they talking about? Mulan in the first Mulan movie, number one, she is beyond stubborn. Like we know this from Mulan one, because number one, she went out of her role of a woman and yelled at the sniveling guy when he tried to give the scroll to dad. She literally broke protocol. She broke protocol by cutting off her hair, putting on the armor, and leaving her family behind. She broke protocols on running into the celebration parade after she saved China and saved the empire. She broke protocols because she's stubborn. This is who she is.
Yes.
She literally did everything that she felt was right. She followed her heart to a T on what she needed to do for her family, for the ones she loved, for the ones she cared about. She's doing it in Mulan too, the exact same way. It just looks different because we're in the context of like a political marriage. I am very annoyed with these people. And she is not inconsistent with Shang. They did not really build a strong, respectful relationship in the first movie because as soon as he found out she was a woman, what did he do? He left her.
Yeah, he wasn't too thrilled with
that. Left her. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think he's worthy of Mulan. I don't.
Well, what Disney prince is? None of them are worthy of their brides.
Hold on. Snow White, no. Yeah, you got it. Cinderella, well, no. Yeah. Philip is worthy. Philip went to war for his woman. Sleeping Beauty, you know, slayed Maleficent.
Oh, yeah.
Told his father that he was going to marry the woman he loved, even though it was the same person. Philip's worthy. But hold on. Philip. No, Beast isn't worthy, even though we love him. Aladdin, that one's debatable. Naveen's not worthy. Flynn, that one's a little bit debatable.
Yeah, I do feel like Flynn might be debatable.
Yeah,
He's got a bit more depth, but
yeah. What's his sort of Kristoff? I think he's worthy. There's worthy princes. It's fine. And remember, she's not a princess. Not as many. This doesn't work. Not many, yes.
Yeah.
They get better as we...
Female Disney that people dress up as, it counts.
She is officially not titled a princess. She is the hero of China. There's a difference. Honestly, in my opinion, hero of China, better.
It is a better title.
I mean, yeah, but, you know.
I feel like they're demoting her by calling her a princess.
Probably.
Where was I? Shang. I got off topic. Now my rant's gone because I don't remember where I was going with it.
Shane's not worthy of Mulan. That's what he's not worthy of Mulan.
He's not. He's not worthy of Mulan. So there is no inconsistency with Shane. She's trying to let him see that duty is not everything. And that's what I feel like Mulan 1 and Mulan 2 is about. Duty is not everything.
Yeah.
You do not need to follow something that you do not agree with. Yeah. Now, as long as you're not, you know, breaking laws and killing people morality-wise, like, be moral. But this is not a morality stance. This is literally a political marriage, so someone doesn't go to war. You know what, China? You were in war for thousands of years. I think one more war is going to be fine.
Honestly.
Wow.
I know. Well, and a lot of this is fueled from some of the other stuff going on with our own political crap in the world, and we're not getting on that
topic.
Let's not get on that topic. But anyhow, there's my rant.
This one may be tired of war, but the White Wolf has rested long enough.
What is that from?
I feel like that's like Game that of is Thrones from, or something.
No, that's Avengers. That's Avengers Infinity War.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
When
Bucky is hiding out in Wakanda.
Right. And, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to get him. It's like, this one may be tired of war, but the White Wolf has rested long enough.
I don't think the White Wolf will ever fully rest.
It's a good line.
It's a very good line.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. It does sound very Game of Thrones-ish too, though.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's my rant about Mulan 2. I think people are stupid.
I mean, you can have your opinion, but it doesn't mean it's right. So,
ours though is. Even I'm stupid, but at least I know I'm stupid. So that makes me less stupid than the stupids who don't know they're stupid.
What?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah, valid. Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Any scenes in the movie that you guys like loved or thought was stupidly hilarious?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I kind of had this on in the background. So
I did too. I did do other stuff while I watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was fun seeing Mushu just do silly Mushu things. You know. I mean, it was mildly entertaining.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. But as far as like anything that stands out to me where it's like, yes, this was great, nothing really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair.
Okay. So out of the 4, 5, 6 movies that we've watched, however many, which ones do you think probably, which franchise probably did the best on doing a sequel, on sequels? What's your opinion? Like opinion? Like what do you, was it Cinderella's? Was it Belle's? Was it Ariel's? Was it Mulan's?
I'd say Belle. I'd say Belle and Ariel. Belle and Ariel did pretty
yeah,
well.
Yeah, my thought was honestly, yeah, Belle and Ariel were the ones that I enjoyed the most. And then Mulan, I would say, was next. Cinderella is certainly at the bottom. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they waited too long. Like, They shouldn't have done one from the 50s.
Yeah. It didn't have a lot of plot. I mean, it's good for very small kids, as we said.
Yes.
But at least the other ones, I feel like we could enjoy to a certain extent as adults, you know?
Yeah, because they came from our era. They came from the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, which makes the difference.
I love the first Cinderella movie, but I keep forgetting it was made like in the 50s.
It was, was it 1950 on the dot? It just had its anniversary. Hold on. It was either 50 or 54.
I thought it was 50
I can't remember which one it was.
I thought it was 59 right personally, but I don't know.
I don't know if it was that.
No, it's 50. It's 1950. That's what I thought. 50. February 15th, 1950. So just a couple weeks ago, it hit its 50. Hold on. 76 years.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
It's a long time.
I'm being honest, when I decide that I'm going to watch a straight to VHS movie, like just for funsies, I always put on Mulan 2. Like Mulan 2 is my go-to. Oh, yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think I have a very big love for Mulan in general as a character. That's why I think that's why I'm so offended that they call her a princess when she's so much more than that. Because Bells, I haven't watched Bells since I was a child. That was the first time I've watched it in probably 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Never watched Cinderella's. And I love Little Mermaid, but Ariel is just, I've never connected with her as a character. So, yeah.
Makes a difference.
Mulan is probably my favorite straight to VHS princess out of what we just talked about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what it is, so.
I actually now have a hankering to watch the live-action Mulan for funsies after this, and I'm probably going to do it. I know a lot of people hate it, but I love it. I think they did a great job to make it live-action.
I liked it.
Well, that's because we're better than the norm.
Okay.
We're better than the status quo.
I'll take it.
We actually have taste.
I'll take that. Thanks.
Wow.
Listen, we have to feel good some way, shape, or form. Just let us be.
In our delusional world, it's fine. Yes,
our delusional world that we started in 2020 of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. You have to feel good somehow. That's what alcohol is for.
Stop. Listen.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Listen. It's a joke.
I would love to have alcohol in my house, but I don't drink. I keep it out.
I mean, it's the end of the day, it's there's nothing beneficial to it.
No, nothing beneficial. It does taste good, though. That's my problem is like, I actually love the taste of like a beer just to like have. I would drink it like pop, which I drink only like once a week. But pop. I just.
Wow.
You love me.
Wow. Yes, you know I do. Hey, at least I didn't give him the finger. At least he understood the reference.
Blurred out.
I did understand the reference.
Yes.
Well, I'd hope so. If you don't understand that reference, we got a big problem. And then we're going to do a whole year of Friends.
I do a year of Friends. Even before I watched Friends, I understood the reference.
Yeah.
Just because you and a few other friends had told me what it was.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, like in college?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of a whole year of things, I was thinking of 2027 already.
Okay.
I know.
that's the only response that's pretty valid, isn't it?
Okay, so sure. I was watching. Listen, we're already done talking about Mulan. It's fine. We always do some sort of podcast talk. What was I watching? I was watching Sword in the Stone. I had like an I just randomly, sometimes I randomly pull up Disney movies. So I was randomly watching Sword in the Stone while I was cooking. And I was thinking about, I'm like, I wonder how many Disney animation movies there are. So I looked it up. And there's enough where if when we did the Disney animation movies, we did it in eras and we didn't pull each one of them apart. So I thought it would be an interesting year. We don't have to. This was just an idea. An interesting year. To go through every single animation, just Disney animation, no Pixar, every single Disney animation in order per week and go through all of the Disney animation movies and actually pull them apart.
Starting from the beginning and just
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and go through. Now, there's some we'd have to skip because there's like 63. Well, that's why it would work because there's 52 weeks in a year. There's 63. So like there are some like wartime, like short movies we can take out. And I got it down to like 68. So we might have to cut a couple, but it was just an idea. I'm like, that would be interesting. It'd be kind of like a Disney, like how they do the like how TV shows do their like rewatch parties. Their rewatch podcast. It's like we could do a rewatch podcast year of Disney animation where we actually pull apart scenes and actually go into depth for each movie. I don't know. It was just an idea. It can be turned down. I see Sammy's. Well, she's actually not just, as.
Well, part of my was I have to watch Snow White again. I'm just like.
Ugh. That's a lot to get through.
It is.
I mean, those early ones outside of Cinderella are kind of boring.
Wait, what? Back up. Say that again.
I said those early ones, not counting Cinderella, are kind of boring.
Oh, the early ones. I didn't catch that word.
Well, yeah, okay. Snow White. Snow I'll allow that. Slightly boring. Yes.
Snow White is Snow not boring. Great.
Sleeping Beauty Bambi is was not boring. Boring to me.
Bambi. Really? I don't.
Sleeping Beauty was good. Sleeping Beauty was good.
Sleeping Beauty was
good. I was thinking like, Snow White and like Bambi. Like those
okay. I'm like, late. Sleeping Beauty is not boring.
Bambi. Yeah.
Cinderella is boring. Where's my, I did like
that. Now that one I'll take offense to. That one I will take offense to. Cinderella is not boring. Cinderella is one of like the first movies I ever saw ever in life. Like that movie shaped, that's like one of those weird foundational movies.
Okay. Interesting. A lot of nostalgia right. there.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, didn't mean to offend you. Mm-hmm. So like the golden age is Snow White and the mm-hmm. Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio, which I haven't watched in years.
Pinocchio.
Fantasia, which I haven't watched in years. Mm-hmm. Dumbo and Bambi. Those are like the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Dumbo.
Never watched Dumbo?
You haven't seen
Dumbo? I think I saw parts of it, but I never watched the whole thing.
You never watched Dumbo either? Wow.
No, I've seen Dumbo a bunch of times. Oh, I just forget about it.
I did watch Fantasia and I did watch Pinocchio back then. I remember that. I forgot about it. I didn't know those were of the same era.
Pinocchio is a trip.
Those are all in the 37 is Snow White and then 40, 40, 41, 42.
Okay.
And then you got the wartime era ones. That's the short ones. There's like Saludos Amigos, The Three Caballeros, Make My Music, Fun and Fancy Free, Melody Time,
The Adventures like we would of skip Ichabod, those.
And Mr. Toad. Yeah. Those we can skip.
Even though I don't dislike all of those, but I think we should. Yeah, those would be skipped.
And then you got the silver era. I don't know if I like these eras, but this is what they're telling me. Mm-hmm. Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Lady and the Tramp, Sleeping Beauty, 101 Dalmatians, Sword in the Stone, and Jungle Book. All amazing.
Honestly, I'd watch, I've seen most of those. I would watch all of them.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good selection.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. I love all of those.
Bronze Era / Dark Age.
Oh, no. Yes.
No. Most of these are good except for one.
Okay, just the one. Okay.
Just the one. Okay. The Aristocats, Robin Hood, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, The Rescuers, The Fox and the Hound. Okay, so maybe two. Fox and the Hound, The Black Cauldron.
No, would we have to watch The Fox and the Hound? Wait.
I'm not watching
The Fox and the Hound.
I'm not watching that
I'm not
movie.
Doing it.
So we could skip The Fox and the Hound.
Okay. Not doing it.
I've never even seen that movie except for that one scene that everybody talks about, and I was depressed for like 2 days.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Try watching it as a child.
It's traumatizing. No. Forever.
It was forever traumatizing.
I will never watch that movie again.
That's legitimately child abuse. I don't know what these people are thinking.
My parents bought that movie for us.
And I had it as a VHS. Me too.
No, I'm talking about the people who made it. The people who made it just also, have like a fetish for just
why was wrong with you, Disney? Dark Age.
Yeah, we're not doing that movie. There's no way. Nope.
I didn't believe them, honestly. I didn't believe anybody. I didn't believe as a grown adult that this movie would have such effect. I'm like, this is a bunch of baloney. It's just a cartoon. It's a movie. No.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. There are certain movies from our time period, 80s, 90s, that destroy us. That is really one of them.
They really did.
Land Before Time is
Land
another.
Land Before Time, yes.
Oh, yes.
Honestly, Lion King's kind of there with the Mufasa.
It's a borderline movie.
It's a borderline. Yeah. Even though I still
the trauma. King never destroyed me. Lion King never. I think I was already messed up because of Land Before Time.
Yeah, so. We were already.
By the time
it wasn't worse
Lion
than
King
that.
Was 94, so we were already messed up.
We were already traumatized. Yeah,
well, by the time that one rolled around, I was I was born in it. I was molded by it. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we go to the Renaissance, which is Little Mermaid, Rescuers Down Under, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, Mulan, and Tarzan. Classics. Which I haven't watched Tarzan. Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't seen Tarzan in so long.
That's a good movie.
And then post-Renaissance experimental era, which was 2000 to 2008. So we got Fantasia 2000, Dinosaur, we'd have to watch that again. Or we could take that out because, like I said,
it's
we have
not a good
we
movie.
Have to take out. Emperor's New Groove, love. Atlantis, love. Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet, Brother Bear, and Home on the Range, and
Big Brother Bear. I don't know about Home on the Range is not a good
Home
movie.
On the Range and Chicken Little, no.
I like Chicken Little. Mm-mm. Damn.
No.
Okay.
Meet the Robinsons and Bolt. And then we got our revival modern era. Princess and the Frog, Tangled, Winnie the Pooh, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Moana, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Frozen 2, Raya and the Last Dragon, Encanto, Strange World, and Wish. We don't need to do Wish again. We just did
Wish. We did Wish. We've done it.
So that's like the list. So okay. You think about that. We have a whole year to decide if that's what we want to do or if we want to do something else. Yeah. Because we've been doing the same format for so long that I'm like, we could just switch it up.
I don't have a problem with switching it up at all.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm open for anything.
No. I'm not opposed to it.
I mean, some of these movies we know by heart, so we don't have to watch them over.
Oh, no. I usually, things like that, I do it if I just want to. Or I turn on the background, you know, and just enjoy it.
Yeah. But me, like, I'm thinking, like, but for what I would do for my notes, even if it's, like, you hosting that week, is I probably would look, like, I'd probably go into a little bit more depth of, like, themes and breaking it down and what those scenes did and how it, I think it'd be cool to literally deconstruct each of these movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'm not opposed to it.
That's a literary analytic in me that I'm like, ooh, let's break it down and write a paper.
Mm-hmm. There's a few things, not Disney specifically, but there's a few movies that I've done that with a couple of times, just for fun, as a more creative exercise for myself. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you can break something down visually and you're like, okay, how does this fit into the overall theme? What are they trying to say with this kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to be found there.
Yeah, and I think it would be, I know I don't know what kind of audience we have and what we get and whatnot, but I think it'd be interesting to dedicate some time to like showing people, like, especially people who are like looking at these movies and saying they're so old time fashioned, they don't work well. It's like, well, let's talk about them in the era that they worked.
Right. Because that's the key.
And show why they worked when they were done.
Yeah.
Because that's been a big thing lately is, especially with the live action Snow White, people were like just breaking down Snow White. And I know we all don't like watching that movie because it wasn't in our time frame, but there is it did start it all.
Yeah.
And
so
Hollywood telling us that it needs to be modernized and it needs to be done. It's like, hold on. Nobody
wanted that.
No. No one did, but
nobody wanted that. Really, literally nobody wanted that on any side of anything. That's nobody wanted that. I still find that funny.
Hollywood is the only one who wanted it.
No, every now and then you'll get those few like hot points where you just everybody's mad at it.
This is one of them.
There's two people in one instance that I can think of where everybody's just been mad at it, like from all sides. And
what's the other one?
Well, so there's that one, and then there's Joss Whedon, and then there's J.K. Rowling. I know you probably have some things. You can't keep lying. There's people from a lot of spectrums that have been mad at her. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of been all over.
Mm-hmm. I know, but there, no author is perfect. No person creation is perfect. And they're tearing down the story also. They're tearing down what she created. And it's like, okay.
They don't separate it.
Understand you don't. You need to separate her work that has been loved and adored by millions of people and what she said.
I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm saying it's interesting just to see like certain pinpoints where like all sides have come at.
I will say,
but you got to be a special kind of something to make everybody mad at you.
The only reason everybody's mad at her is because everyone on social media is just listening to what everyone else is saying. And the problem with it is whether I agree or disagree with what she says or what she believes or what she meant, she has a right to have her own opinion. Just like everyone else says, they have a right to have their own opinion. That's what irks me is that, okay, you want free speech and you want to be able to say what you want. But as soon as someone says something that you don't agree with, even though it's their own personal thing and they don't care what everyone else says, you get mad and you cancel. And that is what really pisses me off, because she's been quiet this whole time after one statement and they're still tearing her down, even though she said nothing else.
Well, I saw this thing, okay?
Has she been quiet? She's been pretty active on Twitter.
Well, no. Recently she has started talking again. She did an interview and she's like, I'm done being quiet. this is what I'm saying to her, to Emma Watson. This is what I'm saying to Dan. Like, she's been, she's done with these kids who she gave their fame to, tearing her down.
Well, I saw this thing just the other day, and it's about Kevin James of all people, but he was asked, because he's out promoting a movie, he was asked some political leaning question and he declined, right? To really answer it.
A lot of his right lately.
But everybody starts saying, oh, then he's, you know, this kind of political person because he didn't answer the question. And I'm just like, dang, you just can't win. You answer it and then you tick off half your fan base because of that. You don't answer it and people still come at you. I mean, it's like, we just need to calm down. Okay. I don't.
Yeah.
And someone pointed out, like, I wouldn't go to a Kevin James movie to know what his freaking political opinions are. I don't care.
Yep.
I really don't.
I wouldn't go to a Kevin James movie.
Well, to be fair, I'm just saying, like,
I don't care about Kevin James.
But
I haven't
anybody
cared about him since I was 16 when The King of Queens was
but
on.
But anybody, you know,
it's just an example.
Yes, just an example because I saw him in the news recently.
Yeah,
but yeah, just I don't care. I don't care. You're not going to affect the way I vote or feel about things, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, someone actually, I can't remember who recently said it. Someone was asked, like, how they're going to vote coming up in the next couple years. And they're like, it's none of your business. Like, no one should be listening to me on how I'm going to vote.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what celebrity it was. It was a big one. And I'm like,
it
yes,
might have been,
thank you.
Jennifer Lawrence. I think she did something like that recently. I don't know if it was her.
It was somebody. I was just so proud of them. I'm like, thank you, because I don't care what you say. I'm not going to follow what you say.
Yeah.
Listen, if Adam West told me how to vote, I might actually listen to him.
Okay.
I mean, he's not with us. Sadly, he's not with us anymore.
Yeah,
but
he can't
have
an opinion anymore. But
I mean, he's
Yeah.
There's the universe, and then there's Adam West.
Okay, so Adam West gets a pass for having opinions.
Adam West.
Why does
Adam West? Adam West.
Oh, Adam West. Okay. Why was I blanking on my my Batman history? Oh gosh, what was I gonna say? Oh, speaking of losing people, it has been a rough beginning of this year.
What is up with 2026?
Like, I mean, it's every year. Every year we lose people. Mm-hmm. But it's like we lost Catherine O'Hare, our 90s mom, yelling for Kevin. We've lost. Right.
She's always going to be Delia Dietz to me, though. Or, from Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Yes,
I think of that, too.
It's iconic.
Yep. We lost McSteamy from Grey's Anatomy. He was also in Charmed. Mm-hmm.
He's in a lot of things.
What was
he in Euphoria recently.
I know, but I only know him from like romantic comedies when he was like the hot, amazing boyfriend, but then got dumped for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
27 Dresses, was it? What was he in?
I don't think he was in 27 Dresses. Maybe he
was. No, he was in something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it was. And then... there was someone else we just, it was those or two. And then who else did we lose?
James Vanderbeek recently.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that, that's
star right
for,
there.
Like our generation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a Dawson's Creek fan, but I know a lot of people who were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same.
And then we lost.
That was like the show.
Yeah. Everybody was into that.
And then we lost an older actor who, granted, he's like, it was in his 90s. Can't remember his name.
You talking about Robert Duvall or are you talking about a different actor? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Robert Duvall. I was like, dang, he's 95. I mean,
hey, he lived a his great life.
Yeah.
Great life. I'm trying to figure out what Eric Danes was in that I saw that was romantic comedy.
No idea.
He was in Valentine's Day. Oh, Burlesque. That's right. He was in Burlesque.
Oh, he was in Burlesque.
That's what I was thinking of. I'm like, what was he in?
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
That he didn't get the girl.
He was in Burlesque. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I forgot he was in X-Men.
He's in so many things. If you look at his
multiple people
list.
In X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord. No, my first saw of him was Charmed.
Mm-hmm.
He was Phoebe's boyfriend for a while. Mm. He did not know she was a witch. And when he found out, he freaked out. Which, I mean, granted.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fair.
Yeah. Fair. But
honestly.
So we've already, at least it hasn't been like any like overdoses, like celebrities being stupid. Like they passed away natural causes of diseases that they had or old age. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know if it's silver lining, but I'm just glad it wasn't like, it came out that, whose daughter just died? They just found out, they just released her dad is huge.
Shoot. I saw
who
that.
Was that?
I can see his face.
I know. I should know who this is. Was it? Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones' daughters finally came out what happened, and she had a cocaine overdose.
I mean, look at her age. I knew something like that clearly happened.
Yeah, 34. She's only a couple years younger than us.
Yeah. When they don't list they were, you know, fighting an illness or something, I'm like, it was probably drugs, which is sad, but.
Which, poor Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That sucks.
This is a sad way to end the episode.
Way to go.
Sorry.
Ashley just ruined the whole episode with this segment.
Hey, you're the one who brought up all the people dying. I was just talking about people getting mad at each other.
Yeah. No, you said something that triggered it before you talked about Adam West. And I don't remember what triggered
it.
Well,
he said Adam West was dead. Maybe that's what did it in your head.
Triggered it in my head.
Adam West didn't just die.
No, that was 2017.
You know, defense. So,
yeah.
No, I don't, you know, yeah. I was just saying, like, you know, if we're talking about celebrities who have authority, I would say, you know.
Adam West.
Yeah.
Adam West. Mayor West. Family Guy.
Yeah. I will say, though, I did read a heartwarming thing about Johnny Depp. He let Eric Dane live in his Malibu mansion while he was in his last days, rent-free, no expenses, like everything paid for him.
Wow.
So he could be good with his family in his last days. I'm like...
Good for him.
This is why I love Johnny.
Good for him.
Sweet guy.
He's such a sweet guy. Weird as heck. But,
oh, he is
but
a
so sweet
definite whack job. Yeah.
So freaking hot. Mm-hmm. I will love that man till the day I die.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
See. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, let's wrap up, princess.
That's it.
Next month is March.
I like that you call me a princess.
Yes.
Oh, you said lab. Oh, okay.
No, she definitely was calling you a princess.
It sounded like you said, it sounded like you called both of us princesses. I'm like, you know what? I'll take it.
I didn't mean to, but sure.
I like it. I'll take it.
Pixie Dusters, ignore them. We are about to go into March, and you know what that means. Sammy is
Ashley's
about to
favorite
make
stuff.
Me watch Marvel. So tune in next week to see if I actually watched.
We'll see.
Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.